This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Chicago Lines, brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, RF Bike and Trust, and Raw Star Shines. If you feel like you make it down the same road, you should.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lines, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this very windy, rainy Wednesday afternoon, at least here in Grand Bahama. That's where I am. And it's overcast, and I still say it's a beautiful day, but not if you wanted to do some outdoorsy things. But so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I hope you had a great Easter break. Got yourself some relaxation, some reflection of faith, if that's where you are. And all in all, you are ready to roll. I know the kids, and many of them are, if not all of them, are still on their Easter breaks. And so they have to find some ways to occupy themselves as your mommy and your daddy and guardians and what have you go out to work. So hopefully you structured a couple of things for them. Let them relax, though. Let them take the break. some of them out for a little while. I mean, some of them out for a little while. My son doesn't go back until 17. That's some time. And I remember when we were younger, I think we had about 2 weeks off Easter break. I don't know how that evolved. I'd like to know how that all evolved. The spring break, Easter break. You know, is it too much? Should it be shorter? Some say, should it be longer? I don't know. Okay. So let me be totally upfront with you. On the national scene of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, these are quiet times, good and bad ways. Mm-hmm. Quiet times, good and bad. I mean, like this, I'm happy if you can call me, text me, and tell me of anything significant, good or not so good, that you are seeing happening in the country. Because at the moment, things seem fairly quiet, really seem quiet. Whether there's some simmering somewhere happening that maybe I'm missing or not aware of, good or bad, it's pretty quiet. I have to tell you, it's pretty quiet, right? And I'm not complaining, I'm just saying what it is. You know, we come on these shows, we want to talk about something that's impactful, something that's relevant, something, you know, you think is important, but it's been pretty quiet. I don't know if that's intentional. Like mostly, noisy means the government is doing something, good or bad. Maybe it's intentional. Maybe following the last administration and the height of the pandemic, maybe quiet is good, right? But good news is also useful. It's a great motivator. It's a great encourager. You know, it lets you know what's going on. I don't know. It's fairly quiet. So, I am going to make some observations about a couple of things. If you have some observations you want to make, you know, feel free to call, text. Happy to hear from you. So I listened to Dr. Delton Fernanda, president of the Bahamas Christian Council, on Dwight Strawn's show. I think it was on Thursday, just before Good Friday. And I have to tell you, I didn't just believe this. I've actually made this observation for some time now. Dr. Delton Fernanda, is really a very intelligent gentleman. I mean, really, honestly. I mean, he's a good speaker, as most of these pastors and preachers tend to be. But honestly, he really does represent, I think, intellectually speaking, his counsel well. That is not to say you have to agree with him on all the points, but I mean, he puts his positions. He seems to be very authentic. He seems to be very forthright. And he is willing to back off in terms of, okay, that's as far as I'm going to go with an issue, as opposed to just running on for running on's sake, which, I mean, I listened to the talk and I thought it was very informative. He talked about the council, how it evolved, gave some perspectives on the council being a state established institution that, you know, I think many people did not know, but I did not realize that actually myself. You, surprise, surprise, I really didn't realize that myself, but I think maybe I saw it, but just really forgot that. But, you know, but it gave some great information. And then on the marital rape issue, I thought he navigated the questions fairly well, except that even with his answering the question about marital rape, and you see that the issue of marital rape was put to the Speaker of the House of Assembly, a woman, she said, you know, I'm not married, so I don't know that I could speak on marital rape, you know, because I'm not married. Those dynamics I can't really speak to. No. We'll get to that a little later on. But Brother Fernanda, as practically every other preacher I have heard of any significance, I mean, in terms of leadership, have all acknowledged forcing your spouse to have sex is, I don't know if he said wrong, but he said, I wouldn't do it. I don't, right? But most all of them have said, this is not right. They've all acknowledged that a man forcing his wife to have sex is not right. A woman forcing her husband to have sex, they don't talk about that much, but a woman forcing her husband to have sex is not right. By the way, I think the disproportion that women, men, husbands forcing their wives to have sex is certainly probably a disproportionate reality in most relationships, but to discount that it doesn't happen in the race is absolute nonsense. It does happen. It does happen. Okay, it does happen, right? Whether that ends up with penetration or not, it could be fondling, it could be harassment either way, right? But I'm not going to debate that it is probably hugely disproportionately in the direction of men forcing their wives to have sex. They all acknowledge that this is wrong. And almost all acknowledge that something maybe should be done. But what is to be done? It seems to hinge on, don't call it rape. And, you know, in the context of marriage, don't call it rape. Now, mind you, I get that to some degree. I really do. I get to some degree that there is an ought to be a sacredness about the relationship shared between two people who were willing to go to the state and asked the state to legally sanction their union. Y'all heard how I put that, right? See, before you go to the state, a secular institution, this is not the church, first, right? This is not the church. Before you go to the state, you go to the person. You go to that person and you say, you know what? I want for you and I to be married. I want to commit myself to you, maybe, wholly and solely, to you. I want you to be my husband. I want you to be my wife. Now, let me explain something to you. In truth, that commitment does not require a state sanction. Two people could make that commitment to each other, and they could live within the bounds of that commitment for the rest of their lives. They could. And if those two people dedicate and commit themselves to that before God, without the state involvement, they are outside of the state, outside of the law, married to each other. That's why even the state recognizes something called common law marriage. Right? Because it's the relationship that establishes the sanctity and sacredness between those two people. You know, it's that commitment that they have to each other. That commitment, that's it. Then they go to the church because they say to the church, I want to do this before God. Forget say for the moment. I want to do this before God. So the marriage precedes the license granted by the state. Only it won't be recognized in law except you follow the requirements of the state to register that marriage and do it in accordance with the laws of the state so that it can be registered. So I'm going to say you could buy land in the country and not register it, but the land is bought, but you don't register it. Just like, so you can marry somebody, but if you don't register it, you don't get a license or permit before the state. Think about that. A secular institution telling you, yeah, I married, y'all are married now. That's only to recognize you in law. Why? So that whatever legal privileges are attendant to that dowry, which has now been disbanded, except for those that preceded the change of the law. But whatever matrimonial and all that kind of stuff exists in law, that's why you get the state license. I don't know why the state don't marry you. You get the state license to say you're married. Because the preacher marry you. And the preacher, in cooperation with the state, signs the various documents to confirm your marriage so that in law there is a marriage. Right? So the relationship precedes the license. So you could have two people who are married, as in the license remains intact, but the relationship sucks. It's virtually gone, destroyed. And in fact, they may even want to be divorced and not get a divorce, because what the requirements are of the Bahamian state to be divorced is not a path they want to go. So in point of fact, there is no marriage saving and except for the, like, they're doing whatever the heck they want to do before the same God who married them. You know, this one over there having this man, that one over there having that woman, they doing whatever. They don't have no relationship with each other, but they're married in law. For what? Only because there are some legal entitlements and the law give you the license, and only the law says you want to get rid of that license, you have got to go to the courts and the courts got to undo you. But don't have nothing to do with the relationship. That has been over. Been disordered. There are people now who are married, been separated for years and years and years. Some were separated. Died having lived with other people while they were still married. Why? Because that marriage license is from the state. Has nothing to do with the heart. nothing to do with the heart. Now, so given that premise, you and a person get to a place in your relationship where they do not want to have sex with you no more. No more. They don't want, the state says y'all are married. But in every other way, y'all are cruel to each other. Y'all are uncooperative with each other. You have to be, if I have to force you to have sex, you cannot be having any kind of productive, functional, spiritual, Christ-like relationship with me. In a circumstance like that, really, honestly, now, does the marriage subsist? Really? Other than what the state said, remember now, it was God who they went to and said, oh, yeah, we were married for you. Well, this is a dilemma in this whole situation, because if the believer says it was God who married us, mind you, they out there doing whatever they want to do. Despite the fact they say God married them, I am with you, I'm gonna be with you, I ain't hanging out with you no more, but God married us. And you then now find yourself bound by what God says about your relationship with each other and how that relationship should exist and whose body belongs to who. What I can't get too often is where the people say, well, your body belongs to me, and so if I take it, then that's okay. But if your body belongs to me and my body belongs to you, you think I can rape myself? You think I can force myself to have sex with me? So for me is, almost all the religious spiritual leaders acknowledge it is wrong. That is not right. It is not a thing that God would endorse, not a thing that Christ would endorse, not a thing that the church would endorse. But what is to be done about it, though? Now, so now there are people who are saying a woman who is forced, a man who is forced to have sex within by their spouse should be able to accuse their person of rape. And the church said that the marriage is sacred. Is a marriage still sacred that's been violently assaulted by the two people in the relationship, in the marriage? The institution of marriage is sacred. But is that marriage sacred? Really? The one that those two people are doing every ungod, unchrist-like thing to each other? And that is, so in that context, when people go to the state and say, listen, you gave me a contract, a license to be married, and you said to me, if I want to break this, I have to go to court. So I have to go to court and do it. And the only way I can do it is if there is, if I can claim cruelty or I can claim adultery. Those are the grounds. And then there's separation or desertion and that kind of stuff, right? And they're not altogether easily provable things. But in the meantime, this license you gave me now causes me to be incapable of coming to you and saying to you that saving and except for this license you gave me, in every other circumstance, I would have been raped. But I can't come and tell you. If we say it's not right, well, why can't we establish in law under the thing given by the state, not the church, under the thing given by the state? Why can we not establish for the people involved parameters that say this is wrong? This is wrong. That you should not be able to assault your spouse that way. Because this is a secular argument. This is not a religious argument. The license by the state has nothing to do with religion. Nothing. It is a legal instrument recognizing a union these two people entered into for legal purposes. That's what that is. It is not spiritual. It is not. Listen, bro. I hear you. I'm happy to have that debate with you. It is not. The license by the state is not spiritual. That's why when the state decide to change it and decide two people of the same sex to get married, you will understand it is not spiritual. You will understand it. Because it's not. It's a political instrument of the state that we cooperate with the state, the church cooperates with the state on, in acknowledging and confirming the commitment those two people made to each other. But the larger moral and spiritual authority of that union is with the church, that is God's representative on the planet. That's where that is. Now you want to talk to those two people and tell those two people, listen to me. Oh man, listen to me. I do not understand that a church does not see this, that a secular state can say to two people, you shall not force yourself on each other. And if you do, you have committed a crime and for it, you'll face prosecution. And if convicted X, Y, and Z, that the secular church is willing to say that to two people. But the moral authority in the land is not willing to say to the same, say to two people, what you are doing is dead wrong. Dead wrong. You ought to cease and desist from it. And if those people don't heed, you should do what Paul said. You should not be a part of this community. He says, if he was a heretic after the first and second admonition, what did the Bible say? Kick him out. But we won't take that stance on the issue. We just keep arguing with the state. We just keep arguing with the society. Oh, it shouldn't be called rape. It shouldn't be. Really? Is it wrong? Do you regard it as wrong? Are you even saying forcefully to men and women, don't behave this way? This is not God. This is not Christ. With the same degree of authority, you can't sentence somebody, but you can speak with the same degree of authority that the secular state speaks to. People who rape people. Listening to Z Live, I'm Chibago Langyold. We'll be back after this break.
Business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
My Gateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. My Gateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful but windy and overcast Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-343. The text says nothing to talk about. It's dead quiet. Say the people are happy. Business is good. Tourism is back to normal. Thank God for our much more. Most honorable Philip Davis that has let us out of our homes after five days of house arrest COVID. Okay. Is that what's happening, folks? Are you happy? Really happy? And that's why nothing to talk about? As what this gentleman says it's all about the PM and what the PM has been doing. All right. So the speaker says she really can't speak to marital rape because she's not married. Mind you, you know, okay, so let's say we understand where she's coming from. And saying, okay, maybe I don't understand, appreciate the nuances of marriage, so I can't speak to it. But that's going to be very difficult for a person who's in parliament to take that position. The reason for that is, in parliament, you have to speak about many things you really have no familiarity with. You have to speak about things related to financial services, and you're not a financial services expert. You have to speak to things related to criminality, and you may not yourself be a criminal. You have to speak to things related to education, and you may not be an educator. You have to speak to things related to the preaching, and to men, and you're not a man, or women, and you're not a woman. So that's kind of difficult a position to speak to, because really nobody, people are not asking. First of all, you're a legislator. You're a legislator. So you make laws, you participate in the passage of laws. And it is your government that is considering a piece of legislation. Okay? Now, it's going to bring that legislation perhaps to parliament. So there are a number of unmarried people in parliament, right? Well, how do you do that? That you really, it's really a difficult position to take, to say that because I am not myself experiencing a thing, I can't deal with it. So if a piece of legislation comes that it deals with poverty or deals with wealth, and you are neither of those things, or you are either of those things but not the other, what do you do? Do you not still have to speak? Can you not still have thoughts on the matter? Can you not ask people who are in the situation? So can you ask a woman who is married and having such issues? Can you ask a man who is married and having such issues so that you can get perspectives? That is what good legislators have to do. You have to get perspectives if you're not yourself fully engaged or fully aware of a matter. You just have to get perspectives where you can get those perspectives, but you can say it, but it won't be really credibly accepted by some people that you can't speak to matter because it's not you in particular. Afternoon, Mr. Lang. I'm so glad that you are talking about the speaker's comment that she has no position on the marital rape issue because she's not married. Would anyone who has no children ever say that they don't have any comment on whether child abuse is right or wrong? What garbage. I couldn't say it succinctly than that. That's really the bottom line, is that we have to be able to gain perspectives on matters, even if we are not ourselves. You know, the whole notion of empathy means to suffer with. That's what it means. It means I'm not suffering myself, but in putting myself in your shoe, in putting myself in your life, I suffer with you. So I try to experience mentally, intellectually, what you are, psychologically, what you are experiencing, so that I can relate to. And that's what good leadership is about, too. You know, you have to be able to put yourself in other people's shoe. You have to be able to empathize with them. If the speaker could say what she says, she shouldn't be there. Well, to her defense, I could say this. She is a speaker, and speakers rarely participate in debates. Rarely. So she will likely not participate in debate, even though what most speakers do is, if a matter is so fundamental, they will actually take leave of the seat of the speakership so that they can participate in the debate. So they can participate. It's unique, but they can do so. And speakers have done so when they felt the matter was so historically significant or important. And they can register their vote in such matters because they want the record to be loud on their participation and their conviction concerning a matter. So don't ever let anybody tell you a speaker cannot participate in the debates in the House of Assembly. They don't ordinarily do so, but they can do so because they're more often than not presiding. They can take leave, let somebody else take the speakership, and then they can speak on a matter and they can vote on a matter. In fact, when there's a tie, they're almost compelled to vote on a matter to break the tie. So it would be, and I think being a woman, as the speaker is, would put her in a unique situation to vote or speak on this matter. Now, she wasn't asked this in the House of Assembly. She was asked this outside the House of Assembly. So as a leader, she was being asked to comment on the matter. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. But just a bit, little bit concerned, because you said something just now with reference to a child, right? I'm sure if you had asked the speaker to comment on a matter concerning a child, more than likely would have been different, right?
Mm. Mm.
In
well,
this
I didn't,
country,
I didn't
we,
say, I didn't say this. A texter sent it. Yeah.
Pardon me?
Oh, that was my comment. A texter sent that in.
Okay. Yes, I'm sure our comments more than likely would have been different. In this country, we are a country of laws, rules, and regulations. Mm. Even though we be breaking the laws all over the place, the speaker, even though in her capacity as a speaker, she has a constitutional right to recuse herself or not to answer certain questions that she feels that she really, really can give 100% or 90% participation. And she gave, may not have been the best reason to say, hey, I'm not married, so I really don't want to comment. But nevertheless, she gave a reason. And for everybody to be saying, because she's this and because she's that, I think that is wrong, because it goes against her constitutional right to say no comment. She has that right.
Well, actually, she can not speak if she doesn't want to on any matter. So I agree with you 100%. But what I gather from people is in that people are questioning her ability not to speak or speak. I think what they're questioning was the reason she gave. Because if she was consistent purely with what you're saying, she could have said, you know, I prefer not to comment on it at this time.
That's the behemoth. That's behemoth, basically what she said. Could you imagine? I'm a man. You're a man. I respect you highly because, you know, especially your family, your kids and all that, you always talk about it, Mom. Can you imagine me come to you and ask you a question to Mr. Lang, how you think a gay person feel in this situation? What you could say? You could say, man, I ain't gay. I can't really seriously answer that.
No, but I might not say that. I mean, I might not say it that way, but I'm, again, though, if even, again, whatever I say, it may come up into some criticism by people. So we can't get upset if people criticize our response to something, especially when you're in public life. That's the nature of the game.
But Mr. Lang, can you imagine that? In this society, what you and I know about, can you imagine if she could try to answer the million and the myriad of answers could come out there? If she did try to answer that in that capacity, imagine what else we'd have been talking about this evening. Anyway, thanks for taking the call.
No, I don't. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think if she had said, well, I think marital rape is wrong and something needs to be done about it. If she said, I think marital rape needs to be looked at carefully because there are some nuances about marriage that needs to be. I think she could have said a ton of things that would not have been as controversial as what she said. I mean,
yeah,
by some people.
Suppose she had said, listen, I ain't married, right? And this is my views on it. Y'all who ain't married, still their people's business. Suppose she did say that.
Yeah, but then she might have had talk built up to. But I'm saying, so you know, when you are in public life and you make public statements, don't be shocked if people respond or react to what you say. That's just
Then you see that really in her portfolio. That question that was more coming from like even though you're in public life, I need your personal answer on that.
No, sir, that's not about portfolio. I'm sorry. First of all, the reason why this is an issue is because the Davis administration has a bill out there for consultation. The society didn't put the bill out, you know. The Davis administration, which she is a part of, put a bill out there for consultation. So they are asking about the issue of marital rape. Okay.
Well, now, You're an ex-politician, a very good one, and you know. The speaker's position is neutral.
Hold on, bro. Don't get it twisted. The speaker is a PLP. Speaker.
The speaker of the House of Assembly.
Hold on. I want to educate people now. So remember, that's what we do on this show. The speaker's position is neutral. The speaker, the office of speakership. But the speaker is a PLP representative in the House of Assembly.
Okay, you ain't gonna get no argument out of me. But if you remember the speaker before this one, if you remember in the last administration, you see how that pan out.
You see how that pan out. No, but that's how he behave. You can behave how you want, but the point is your seat was counted with the party when the party became the government. That's how they became the government. They counted your seat with them.
But now the position that she's in,
that's not even important to what you're saying. I agree with you. She has the right to say or not say. I also agree with you that no matter what she said, she cut some criticism. So that's not surprising.
But to me, take care.
To me, there is some argument, some pushback against the argument she used, which is that I am not married. I understand to some degree where she's coming from, as I said before, but I can see the pushback she's getting on that basis. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a break, pay our respects to our great sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Sweet and heat, meet Burger King Nassau. Introducing the new Mango Habanero King that features a signature mango habanero sauce, two flame grilled beef patties, two slices of cheese, bacon, and spicy jalapenos, all on a toasted sesame seed bun. Enjoy the Mango Habanero King in a combo or ask for the plant-based version. Either way, this sandwich offers just enough sweet to bring on the heat. The new Mango Habanero King from Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, 412. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Z Live. I'm Shabab. Join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a number of texts here. This text says she made a mistake. Even if you are in common law relationship, no is still no. Later on, she would revisit her previous statement and correct it. Okay. This text says the speaker also accepted audiovisual equipment for use in the private meeting rooms of Parliament. I need more details on the transaction. Did China give Parliament a check and Parliament then ordered their own devices, or did China deliver already packaged televisions to the private meeting rooms? Chinese workers installed the televisions. I don't know why tiny Bahamas would be of interest to any G7 government, but we seem to be so. Okay. This text says, Mr. Lang, can a state-sanctioned body really serve as a true oversight body over the state? I was surprised to know the Christian Council was a brainchild of the government. I now see them as employees of the government. How can they ever truly stand against the government when the government can dismantle their council? Well, I hear where you're coming from, but I don't think that that's an argument at all, because you have legislative enablement, meaning that you are establishing law. That actually is the state actually gives you great power. But the state can't appoint your president, can't appoint who runs the council, can't dictate what you say. So what's the problem? Like if you say something against the state, as the council has done on numerous of occasions, it went against the government during the gambling referendum, what's the government going to do? Fire you? Well, how? The government's going to say, unenact you? Well, even if the government unenacts you, you can still stay a counselor. So the government has no power over the Christian counselor, none whatsoever. So if that was a different situation, like where the government fully funded you, appointed the president, gave them a contract, et cetera, I could see what you're saying, but in the present circumstances, the government has no power over the Christian Council. None whatsoever. And just because you were enacted by the parliament, that doesn't mean you can cease to be a council if the government unenacts you, because all you'll be is a non-legislative entity. And that's many people, that's many institutions in the country. Many people operate and they're not enacted by the state. So I don't think that's a real issue. Now, for instance, the central bank is a similarly legislated body. The government could unlegislate them and they wouldn't exist anymore, but it would be to the government's harm. So again, I don't see that that's an issue at all. And then and they can perfectly speak their minds, perfectly independently do what they want. There's no issue there, none whatsoever. This text says, tourism, great, but if we want to keep it great, we need to keep the Bahamas clean. Paint the beaches, downtown, garbage everywhere. Some Bahamians are nasty. That is true. Some Bahamians. I watch some of them. They throw garbage out the window of their cars. I mean, like, I don't get it. Like, listen, it is definitely a reflection on your sense of responsibility that you just finished eating out of a Kentucky. You just finished eating out of a box from a restaurant. You just finished doing that. And now that you are done, it is now so awful, this box that you just finished eating out of, that you cannot keep it in your car for a couple minutes to get to where you're going. When somebody says you are nasty for doing that, throwing it out the window, all that means is your conscientiousness about your responsibility in the dumps. That is true. And any number of people out there listening, maybe, you know you did it. You know you do it. You let your children do it, and you do it. It's awful. I mean, seriously. I mean, and that's an easy fixable thing. You could fix that. You already did it. So there's nothing you can do about that now, right? There's nothing you can do about it now. But in the future, you don't have to do that, man. You can hold it for a couple of minutes. In fact, you know what I do? Keep a plastic bag inside the car. And then if I eat or drink something, just put it all in the plastic bag and tie it up so that when the time comes, my car is still a little neat. And then I can just dump it, right? That really irritates me. But hey, there are some people for whom it does not matter. By the way, please forgive me. Congratulations, Bahamas, on your Carifta performance. Second place in the instance of track and field, first place in the instance of swimming. Congratulations. Of course, we're tracking for swimming. We've been doing this now for 5 years. Congratulations again. Second place again to Jamaica. Congratulations again. You know, all your coaches or your trainers or your supporters, and wonderful job. Wonderful job. I understand that I saw some of the pics and videos and stuff too. I didn't get to go to any games, but wonderfully done. Wonderful. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang, and it's quiet today because after Carifta, with this beautiful weather, there's no better place in the world to rest your head comfortably than in 242. Let's remember to pray for each other and share more love with respect rather than hate. Absolutely, I got you. Appreciate it. This text says, not every woman supports criminalizing murder rape. That is hard for many to accept. That is true. There are women who... In fact, in the number I know, in the context of their church beliefs and convictions, do not support it. That is true. And so if the speaker did not support it, I wouldn't come down on her for clearly stating she didn't support it or clearly stating she supports it. I think people were questioning the rationale given. That's really the bottom. That's what got her in some. This text says, Mr. Lang, this is the problem I have with elected individuals. They come to us as intellectual, optimistic, communicative aspirants. And when a simple question is put before them to have a view, They are frightened to go against what may or may not be popular. What is there to fear? Speak your mind and stand on it. If God is in it, whom should you fear? I understand. Understand. It says in the Bible, the man born blind asked Jesus, if only I can receive my sight. He never see anything before, but he talked about having his sight. What did he know about sight? Really? Really? Have you never heard of Stevie Wonder talking about what it might mean to have his sight? I think he did at one point. They said there was a corrective surgery that could have given him his sight back, and he indicated that he didn't want to do it because he says he may not actually be able to see, have the same level of inspiration. So you're saying to me that someone who's never seen before cannot be talked to about seeing, being seen, when everyone around them might be one seeing? I mean, I don't get that. I don't get that. Clearly, being born blind is not normal. That's not normal. That's not the usual. So you can have lots of people around you describing for you a world, but you can't see it. And so why can't you not say, to have your sight back? I know, no. That's no argument for me at all. Oh, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. Sorry.
Good afternoon, Z-Line.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Man, everything blessed, man. Yes, you're trying to deal with this liquid sunshine. I'm going to add something to what you say. I have a left hand and a right hand drive car, and what I do is just drive and pull up on the side of someone garbage and lift up the wood and trade right in there. If I in the left hand drive or the right hand, or wood on it, I just trade right in the garbage in the front of their yard or something as I drive in. Any neighbor I go on, I just pull a hard on the side of the road, put my hand right out the window, and drop it right in their garbage.
But you ain't drawing it on the ground.
No, but I'm drawing it on the ground, man. I have more pride than to do that. And I agree with you and my boy, Marvin Stopper Johnson. And whatever my MP would have said, because I've been in Bamboo Down from 1974, Chicago.
So,
you was in public life before, though, like you say, I believe whatever she said would have been criticized anyhow, right? So I have a suggestion for her. All she have to do is take a page out of the Honorable Frankie Campbell book. For the first 6 months, mind her own business. And for the next 6 months, stay out of people's business.
Yeah, but she it's just going on 2 years now, though.
When they put the mic in front of Frankie Campbell face mask.
No, mind your own business.
And for the next 6 months, keep out of people's business. Frankie Campbell is easy now. Yeah, man, great show, man. I can continue to tune in and enjoy the show, man.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate
all right,
it.
That's all right.
This text says, Mr. Lang, the Carifti event was awesome. Why can't the Bahamas, after 50 years, get the color of the flag together? I found it distasteful that so many color variations were used during the games. Come on, man. Let's get it right. And, that's really an offense. Well, if you are Bahamians using flags that don't have the right color, like because they bought it somewhere, got it someplace, okay. Was the state, was it the official flags being used that were not the right color? Because that would be terrible. That'd be terrible. We ought to know how to use, what our flag colors are and use the right colors for the flag. All right. I see that the Minister of Immigration made a communication to Parliament regarding some matters related to immigration. He was given an update on some stuff. And listen, first of all, let me say,
this is how you do it. I mean, like, in terms of when you have material, significant things to say you believe about statecraft, you go, you make a communication in Parliament, right? And you lay out before Parliament your observations about what you're doing and what have you. So the minister went and he gave some dialogue, some discussions. He gave some notes about what the government is doing. He indicated that the government, as an example, established a temporary holding facility in Inagua with the capacity to host for irregular migrants intercepted in the southern Bahamas to be repatriated. Again, do not hold me to this, but I thought that this was started under the minister administration. I thought that this use, I know we had been long discussions held around setting up some kind of defense force facility in Inagua. I thought that this issue of establishing a temporary holding facility in Inagua was started before, but it may not have. The minister says that it was started before. That was started by their administration. This was, he said, the user's exact words, we established. Okay, so within the last year and so, this was done. He said that they also commissioned the largest immigration squad in history of the department, increasing the total number of immigration officers by over 30%. So what that exact number is, I don't know, but he says it's the largest immigration squad in history. And then he said that there is another recruitment for an additional 100 immigration officers in the upcoming months. So there have been immigration officers recruited, largest in history, and then there's another 100 coming. And then he talked about the special operations in Abaco called Operations Restore to combat illegal migration that's been ongoing, and that they have a joint effort with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, Royal Bahamas Police Force, and that they focused on Marshall, Hope Town, Guanaki, Treasure Key, Green Turtle Key, Ferry Dock, Winding Bay, the Gully, and the Farm. And he says several things were observed during that, in which they found that persons with work permits were actually, they have work permits to work with people in New Providence, but they were actually working outside of New Providence. And that's a violation. You're supposed to work within the region, territory you work for, but that wasn't happening. So people were also not only were people not working where they should have supposed to be working in terms of island, there were people who were working outside of their work permit area. So if you were a landscaper, you're supposed to be working in a landscaping area, you don't go into any other area. But in this case, he says some people who were supposed to be handymen were doing skilled labor work. So he says they found some of that. None of that is surprising to me. I mean, you either. You know that happens. And he said that, now this is what I found interesting. He said that between January 2023 and the 31st of March 2023, so for 3 months, some 81 persons were found on Abaco using work permits issued for employers in New Providence. Now, listen to this. This is a statement. This is the direct quote from the minister. These persons were removed from Abaco, and in each case, the permit is liable for revocation. Okay, hold on. Okay, help me out, folks. Help me. First of all, the persons, so if you remove them from Abaco, you have concluded that they were illegally working outside the parameters of their permit. But in each case, the permit is liable for revocation. Liable or not liable, they're going to be revoked. You don't say that. That's not what we said. He said to date, 65 of the 81 persons who were removed from Abaco have been charged and convicted. Okay. Now, I was waiting to see what was said about the employers, because these people were working outside of their permit. The permits are applied for by someone. Every permit for a foreign worker supplied for by someone. But the people who were removed, they were
charged and convicted. But this is what the minister says after that. Madam Speaker, another significant challenge we have found is Bahamian employees are failing to renew permits. The minister went from 81 persons were charged and convicted for what? For operating in territories and in areas where their permits were not authorized, did not authorize them to do. And no mention of the sponsors of the permit being dealt with, none whatsoever. No mention. But a problem we found is that the Bahamian employers are failing to renew permits on a timely basis. Isn't the mean? In as much as we are interested in dealing with the immigration problem, illegal immigration problem, in as much as we say we are wanting to be hard on illegal immigrants and what have you, the weak spot in the political process of dealing with illegal immigration remains Bahamians who operate outside of the legal parameters of the permit. And the reason for that is political sensitivity. That's the reason for it. That's the reason for it. Who's sponsoring the permit? Someone who could pay to have a permit sponsored. Who do you think they are? Patrons, captains, sponsors, donors. I'm just being real. I'm not criticizing the minister. I'm not criticizing the government. The political process in this country on some matters is so violated because of the dynamics of the relationship that exists between the governed and the governors. And the sponsors of the governors. And the sponsors aren't only rich people. They are people who say, man, I need my thing, but I only need them for 3 days. And they got a couple of days, so I let them do this, I let them do that. But no mention. 65 of 81 of the people dealt with. But the people who sponsored the permit, nothing. I waited for it, I didn't get anything. This text says the official flags are not the right color, are all yellow, not gold. I got you. And the country definitely should not be letting that happen. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Relang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
The car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, come take my hand.
back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I was talking about the minister's comment about the fact that people were working outside of their work permits territory. And then there are people who were working outside of the work permit area. So I think that we have to look at this with some degree of sobriety to realize something. So let's take a middle income, maybe slightly upper income professional person who decides I want to have, I need someone to assist me with my domestic chores, you know what I mean, a maid maybe, but I don't need somebody full time. I need somebody for 2-3 days. And then somebody to landscape, but I don't need a full time landscaper. So, but they take measures to bring people in, but they find the burden of it a little heavy. And so maybe they find a way to cut the days down, but don't keep the people, but share the labor or the work, some or something like that, right? I think we ought to understand that's a practical issue. That's a practical reality. See, to the extent to which the government was already prepared to let the person come in, period, to do that work, means you have that person here. So if that person is divvying up within their workspace, landscaping, made, you know, okay, I can see that. I can see that you bring it out and open so people could do it legally, so people could do it regulatedly. You know, that's not a matter where we should see criminalization and bureaucratic interventions like that. That's an easy one, because you're already letting the person in, and if you let them in, if they were in for it full time, that means they could be here the entire time doing that kind of work. What's the problem if it's shared? If you want to call, say the person is sent by cash, if you can let somebody do that, they have to pay the government a fee too. No problem. Do it that way. Do something. But they're already here, and you're already allowing for that sponsorship now. You say, but oh, you only need somebody for a couple of days, why can't I hire a baby? Listen to me. Let's be real. There are people who have Bahamian maids. There's the people who have great Bahamian maids, great, or as you whatever the word is, whatever you call them, right? But there are lots of people who ain't had no success with that. None. I can tell you, I have not had success with it. I did not have any success with it in times past, you know. But there are people who have found success. But I know of lots of Bahamians who are skeptical about it. Any number of reasons. But the point is, if the government has already permitted somebody in who's foreign to do this kind of work, and that person is divvied up among a couple of people, and these are Bahamians doing this too, you know. Sometimes it's Bahamians doing it with other people, with non-Bahamians. I don't think that should be a problem. If you want to extract a little bit more fees out of that, not a problem. But I just think that that's not a big issue. That's not something we should make a big issue. People working outside their work area, so you're supposed to be in landscaping, but now you're doing masonry work? No, that's a different problem. Because I gave you in the landscaping area because maybe I have recognized a deficiency of workers in that area. That's why I gave it to you. Now that you're going in the skill area where I have more than enough people, I don't want you competing in that way. I understand that kind of thing. But if you come in as a landscape, you're doing landscaping for Mr. So-and-so for 3 days, and for 4 days, you're doing for Mr. So-and-so,
I don't think that should be a big problem. I think you just regulate that and give that some normalcy in the scheme of things. But, you know, that's my 4 cents on the matter. But the minister clearly outlined a number of things is seeking to do in this area, and I applaud him. I applaud him for making a comprehensive reporting to Parliament on their doings. I applaud him for doing that. I understand they had questions and answer period today in the House of Assembly. And I listen, don't get mad at me. I asked about it, and the description for the answers to the questions was evasive. one question that was put, I understand, was the question of FTX and what is happening with FTX, and did the government get any money from FTX or whatever? And I understand that the prime minister said he couldn't answer the question because of a sub judice. And as I was discussing with somebody, the sub judice where? It is under litigation. It is under civil. It's under liquidation. It's under some criminal prosecution in the United States of America, but it's the suggestion that a civil prosecution taking place in the United States could not be discussed in the Bahamas because it's under criminal prosecution in the United States. Why can't we speak of it? I mean, clearly you would exercise good judgment as to what is said because of whatever international implications it might have. But I don't know that, you know, I'm not a lawyer. We have missed something. This text says, Mr. Lang, if a girl between 0 and 16 is sexually abused and is unable to give consent under the law, why is that heinous act not described as rape? Is the thinking that if we don't call it rape, the child won't believe she was raped? Is that the case? You cannot rape a child under 16? Yeah, I think the definition of rape, no, I don't know. I mean, I have to check the definition of rape. But you know, this is what I heard some of the preachers say. Some of the preachers are saying, let's not call it rape. Let's call it something else. Wayne Monroe, the Minister of National Security, says, let's not call it rape. But he wasn't saying that to try and deny that rape has occurred. What he's saying is, if you want to get movement on this, where there's opposition in some circles, he said, you may want to avoid the use of the word rape. Okay, and I could buy into that, but I asked this question at the forum that the Government and Public Policy Institute had, where the minister made a wonderful, I thought, national security policy lecture. I asked the question, okay, if you don't call it rape, and you call it something else, so you call it, the term says it's called sexual assault. Okay, so let's call it sexual assault. Let's say you call it non-consensual marital sex. Say you call it that. My question is, are you going to penalize it? And if you penalize it, is it going to have a different penalty from rape, or is it going to have the same penalty as rape? So you have to make a judgment on the nature of the act. You're going to ask yourself, even though I'm not calling it rape, am I treating it as a rape? So even if the person does the exact spouse that is done to a non-spouse, exact same act, saving and except for the fact of marriage, is calling it something different going to attract a different adjudication in law and penalty under the law, if any penalty at all? That's the question. That's the question. Are we going to do this? We're going to say, you know what? I'm going to create, as a grounds for divorce,
this non-consensual sex within a marriage. What happens then? Think about that for a moment. Suppose the law is structured in a way to say that a grounds for divorce in the Bahamas is now, mind you, we have to revamp the whole divorce situation in the country so that we make it more, I think, more progressive, that without diminishing the value we place on marriage. And I think it's great, a great value to be placed on it. But even though I think that value is not in the certificate, not in the license, that value is in the relationship. So maybe we need to find some ways to make that relationship more binding, more incentivized. And if the law, if the state is going to get in it, how about giving some tax incentives for the married? How about that? That would encourage some people to stay married. How about giving some, how about giving, if you make that a ground for divorce, boy. What do you think would happen then? What do you think would happen if non-consensual sex in a marriage, of course you still have to prove it. You still have to prove it. You say you can't prove it. You're in this day of videotaping. What happened? This text says it's for the benefit of the perpetrator. He must not feel the consequences of his act psychologically. Amen. They give benefits to couples in Switzerland upon marriage. I think if you want to strengthen marriage, rather than look at it only in terms of negative things like marital rape, how about you strengthen the reason people stay married? How about you? The government could give tax breaks. The government could, like, if you're married and you have a family and you're traveling, you have this $500 exemption each time. Get the married people with children $1,500 in the year. And if they have children, give them something else, right? If you want to encourage marriage, how about you prioritize the government homes for the married people? How about you do that? And how about you give them some interest rate breaks and those kinds of things, right? So my point is, I'm just throwing out those things, but my point is that negatively at those things that might undermine marriage, as we like to say, how about we look at some things that could undergird marriage, since the state is getting involved, since the state remains involved? How about we do that? It says, great show as usual, how crazy this world is. They might call rape peck a boo. These people crazy as hell. Rape is rape. It's a great show. I'd rather the government put $150 on married people mortgage. Now that's a great incentive. Yeah. But whatever government does, I'm saying you can do things that encourage marriage. How about state-sponsored marriages, right? How about that? How about you actually help people get, some people can't afford really get married, or have a nice little wedding. How about you help them do that? Well, yes, sir, you're going crazy, okay. Say, how do you police genuine marriages, or do we accept that 110% will be fraudulent and focus on the benefit for the majority bona fide relationships? Exactly, that's exactly what you have to do. That you have to accept that in anything you do, you have some fraud. Anything, but I would suggest that you could stipulate that these marriages and these incentives go to, they have to be people who are legal, all that kind of stuff, right? So, but you have to believe that more people than not
are going to get married for the right reasons. They might stay together, but then they can get married for the right reasons. And so you don't legislate or regulate for the exception. You regulate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Rolang, your host. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back after this final break.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Shopping is so rewarding with my Fidelity credit card. I get the best prices with price protection. Earn and redeem free cash back. Plus, I book the cruise. Get your Fidelity credit card today. Call 356-7764.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick, right around the corner and call that number.
Calls 328-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, and you can join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You know, one of our good listeners and my good friend Debbie Wood, is celebrating her birthday these days, and so I want to wish her a very happy birthday. Very happy birthday, good friend Chess Wood. So glad to know you all as friends. Okay, so and if you're celebrating your birthday anytime this week, this month, happy birthday to you, man. Have a great one, fantastic one. God bless you. Is our prayer. All right, so
So, yeah. I think that this marital rape issue is a genuine test of our, I wouldn't say character, because I understand the dialogue on both sides of the divide. But it definitely is going to test our legislative acumen, right? Always in legislation, legislators have to balance or consider multiple beliefs that not to be true. Then you're just not really aware of how the legislative process works. Legislators are human beings. They're human beings. They have their own personal views. They have their own personal perspectives. They are not unmindful that they represent people who have perspectives. And the truth is, a lot of you would say, oh, they don't represent the people. First of all, it is very rare for all of you to have the same position on any issue. So when you say, oh, they don't speak for us, well, who's to us? I'm sure there are some people who, if they take this position, agree with them. If they take that position, agree with them. So when you say the people, who do you mean? Oh, but the majority of us, and so we should always only do what the majority of people want us to do. That's how we should do it. You sure about that now? Be careful. Be careful. Are you sure of that? So if the majority of people ever decide to be rid of Christianity as a legitimate religion, that's okay. That's okay. Because why? We should do what the majority wants. You say, but that would never happen. Oh, so because it would never happen means we shouldn't even think about it. Oh, I see. I see. The fact of the matter is, laws have to protect the minority. You know, that's one of the reasons why a speaker exists as a neutral position in the House of Assembly, the speakership, because it protects the rights of the minority, the opposition, right? So democracies, as brilliant as they are, can be fatally flawed if they do not take account of the rights of minorities, okay? There's a minority of white people who are citizens of the Bahamas. Should they be disrespected? There's a minority of people who are physically challenged, mentally challenged, or otherwise able in the Bahamas. Should they be disregarded because they are in a minority? No, we don't say that. So we have to be careful. So legislators have to consider all kinds of perspectives. And so in doing so, making laws can be tricky for them because there are some laws they could pass. They could definitely lose their power, right? Now, you could say, well, they should lose it if it's the right thing to do. I agree with you, if it's the right thing to do. But they have to believe it's the right thing to do too. Sometimes it's only a preferential thing to do. It's not really a right thing to do at all. It's just preferential, right? Sometimes it's only a popular thing to do. So there's lots of nuances and considerations. And this marital rape one is that. I think almost every legislator's gut instinct is, man, listen, if you're forcing your wife to have sex, you really should be convicted of a crime. I think their gut instinct tells them that. But the fact that the church has a view on this that's basically saying it can be married, it can be rape, I think that complicates it for them, for sure. Since 90% of Bahamians still marry in our churches, better pastoral counseling would help couples before what the state does. I agree with you. I have said before, I thought that many of the pre-marital counseling that I have observed, including my own, was sufficient. In as much as, you know what happens? You know what happens? I found a pastor counseling two people who they regard as, in quote, non-Christians, right? That they didn't commit to following Jesus Christ, this is especially in evangelical conservative circles. They talk differently to those people than they do to people who say they committed their life to Jesus Christ. Because once you say that, the assumption is, child, y'all always gonna seek to do the right thing. Y'all know Jesus, and so y'all got Jesus, and that's gonna do. Listen, Christian marriages are failing at the same rate as non-Christian marriages. So clearly something is amiss. Clearly what is happening is more human than it is profession of faith, right? Because people are dealing with very human challenges. Some of those are physiological challenges that don't have to do with whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. Some of them have to do with psychological and emotional issues arising from your They don't have anything to do with whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. And so I think that both the believer, in quote, or the professor of faith, in quote, and the non-professor of faith, I think both need to have rigorous counseling to help them. Help them. That don't guarantee nothing. Because if somebody decide, I done, ain't nothing you could do. If somebody decide what you did was in something I could give, nothing you could do. Right? But maybe, as you say, it would help. Says it's only some churches that are taking a retrograde position. Those are the ones who have a tremendous hold over the women in their churches, especially those women who are deaconesses and other minor leadership roles. Yeah, you're right, only some churches. But the fact of the matter is, I guarantee you that the extent to which you see politicians really vacillating or really tenuous about this means that the political fallout as deemed by them from the church is significant enough to warrant what you see them doing. That's it. I keep telling you all this, really. If you see a politician is uneager to go through on something that you believe is obvious, all you got to do is ask this question. What's pricking him? What's pricking her? Let's ask yourself, is it a financial supporter or supporters? Is it key political supporters? National pressure? Or is it a deep personal conviction? That's what you gotta ask. One of four of them things is at play. One of four of those things. Because if politicians see that something is popular, man, please. You. I don't know how many trains you could get to pull them away from making that decision. It's popular. Come on, popularity is the currency of politics. So if you see something that you might say, this should be an easy peasy for them, there's something pricking them. You just try and find out what it is. So it's a mirage. Women are the major voters. It's in their interests, except for those under a few pastors' thumbs. Why? Again, I hear you, but all you got to do is ask yourself the question, why are they vacillating on this mirage? Why are they vacillating on this mirage? That's all you got to do is ask yourself the question. I suggest to you, the belief is there's a price to pay, a serious price to pay to go in that direction. I don't think so myself, but I think that's the conviction. I think that's the point. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to See Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. God bless you all. We'll be back tomorrow. He spares life with another See Live. Y'all have a great evening.
I'm not afraid. I'm not. Take a stand. Everybody.